The first reading for our celebration of Reformation Sunday comes from the Revelation of St. John, the 14th chapter. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Walk about Zion, go around her, number her towers. That you may tell the next generation . The epistle reading comes from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 3rd chapter. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And the Holy Gospel, which serves as the text for our sermon this morning, comes to us according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Jesus said, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their playmates, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, Reformation Sunday, is a day of great celebration. We celebrate our faith, we celebrate our Christian heritage, and we celebrate the reformers, those men and women who risked their very lives to stand up to a church in error and return to the pure word of God. Our celebration is marked by a special service, by traditional songs of the Reformation, by the changing of our pyramids to red after being green for almost 20 weeks after Pentecost. At Lutheran churches all around the world, a variety of festivals are taking place. Special services, mission speakers, special presentations, and probably more than a few potlucks. This is a day to rejoice. This is a day to celebrate. And so it might seem a little bit strange that our gospel reading for this day of great celebration involves Jesus talking about not dancing. But understand this. This is not a statement of puritanical prohibition saying, Thou shalt not dance, for that is an indication that the devil is in thy shoes like Kevin Bacon. No, we can dance if we want to. We can leave this world behind. Jesus isn't condemning joyful gyrations here, but instead is drawing an analogy. He says, to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces, calling to their playmates. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. See, Jesus is not condemning the act of dancing, but rather he is convicting this sinful world and its childish behavior. Because the world, it's like that group of spoiled children crying out in the marketplace, expecting everyone to play its games. Jesus compares the world to children throwing a temper tantrum when things don't go their way. We played the flute and you wouldn't dance. We sang a dirge and you wouldn't cry like we told you to. Why won't you just do the things the way we want you to? And how fitting a reading that is for our Reformation celebration. Because today, no matter how we might celebrate, whether it be through psalms, songs, or even dancing, today we are celebrating those who do not dance. Those who defy the ways of the world and refuse to do its bidding. And like every single Sunday, our celebration today revolves around our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because he would not dance. Though people had many wrong expectations and demands of him, Jesus would not dance the way that the world told him to. So many people had such high hopes for Jesus, but they stopped following him, stopped believing in him, because he wasn't living up to their expectations, their demands, their way of thinking. They thought, oh, I really thought this Jesus guy was the one, but clearly he's not, because he's not doing things the way that he should be doing things. You know, Jesus, if you really were the Messiah, you'd be driving out the Romans, or you'd be giving us more stuff, or you'd be patting me on the back, or you'd be making my house bigger, or you'd be changing society, or. Everyone had their own idea of what Jesus should have been doing. And none of those ideas fit with what Jesus was actually doing. And so, like children, they blamed Jesus. We wanted you to do this, but you didn't, so we don't like you anymore. And it wasn't just Jesus. I mean, the Word of God and those who spoke it, they were always challenged. They were always confronted, always expected to bend to the ways of the world. Jesus says that when he came like a commoner in the way that he did, the people accused him of being a drunkard and a glutton, a filthy friend of tax collectors and sinners. And just before him, John the Baptist came in a very different way, living outside society, boldly proclaiming God's word in the wilderness, drawing crowds to himself. But there too, the world wasn't satisfied, and they didn't like his message of harsh truth. So they said, well, he's got a demon. We don't like him either because he won't do things our way. In fact, all of the prophets and the evangelists throughout the Bible, they all met with similar resistance when they spoke God's word of truth in this rebellious and sin-filled world. Some of them were driven from their hometowns and renounced by their families and friends. Some of them were imprisoned, exiled, beaten. Some of them were killed, brutally executed for speaking God's word in a way that the world didn't want to hear. All because, as faithful Christians, they wouldn't dance to the world's songs, wouldn't change God's word to fit what the world wanted to hear. And many would call them fools for being so inflexible. Would call them just stupid for suffering so much just to keep speaking what God's word actually says. But Jesus says otherwise. Jesus says wisdom is justified by her deeds. In the end, The word of God that the world calls foolish, it will be proven as the only true wisdom. And the childish, wicked ways of the world, they will clearly be seen to lead only to death and hell and destruction. These faithful Christians that the world calls fools, they could have spared themselves so much grief and agony just by giving in to the ways of the world, by changing their tune and dancing to the song that the world wanted them to. But to do that would be to put the approval of the world ahead of the approval of God. And to give up the truth of God is to give up heaven itself. Not just for themselves, but for all those who would hear them. And so John the Baptist, all the faithful prophets, Jesus Christ himself, knowing that eternal life and death is on the line, they refused to give in to the world's selfish and childish demands, refused to value the world's opinion over God's truth, refused to dance to the tune that the world was playing. So many people wanted Jesus to be something else, to be an earthly leader, a leader of a rebellion, a source of free food. They wanted him to dance this way and that, to bow to their whims, to be their own personal Jesus, doing exactly what they wanted him to do. But Jesus had come to do so much more than any of those things. He came not just to fulfill one or two earthly wishes, not just to give us a little more earthly prosperity and power, but to bring about eternal peace between God and man. He came not just to dance a little jig and entertain our worldly desires, but to win the eternal battle for our souls, to give himself as a sacrifice in our place upon the cross, to suffer and die, to pay the price of our sin, so that we, as sinners, as rebels, could be reunited with our Heavenly Father forever. The world, like children, didn't understand that and thought that they knew better. But despite the mockery, despite their childish taunts, despite all the ridicule and shame and pain and suffering that was heaped upon his holy head, Jesus Christ refused to dance to the world's dance and did what was really important, did what he had come to do for us, to bring about God's free gift of salvation by grace through faith. And upon doing that, you would think that the world would be silenced, would realize that their petty song and dance couldn't compare with God's truth, but you'd be wrong. Because even after Christ's eternal sacrifice was complete, even after he died and rose again from the grave, the world kept trying to change the tune, kept trying to bend Jesus to their ways, to make him dance for them. And so we needed the Reformation. The church, over time, over centuries, swayed by sinful man, had gone so far astray, had wandered so far from God's truth, that many Christians were convinced that they had to earn God's forgiveness. They had to pay for it with good works or by giving cash to the church. They had turned away from the real Jesus, the one who loved us so much that he died in our place, and instead they had substituted some useless puppet who would dance for them and give the church what they wanted: money and power and a sense of self-accomplishment because we're doing it ourselves. But through God's grace, the eyes of some were opened to the truth of the Scriptures. It involved many, many brave souls. But what we call the Reformation is rooted in the faith and teachings of Martin Luther and his refusal to do the world's dance. Even though he was challenged continually, he would not dance the way that the others wanted him to. Luther, after a lifetime of living in terror, saw the glorious truth of the Scriptures, and he recognized that the church was in grievous, catastrophic error. He never wanted to break away from the Catholic Church, but rather he wanted to correct its course, to bring the church, the whole church, back to the truth that they had veered from. Not just for himself, but for all Christians, for all the world. And so he stood up. He spoke out. He defied those who tried to silence him. He refused to dance to their song of error and turned back to the undefiled word of God, speaking it out in truth and in boldness. And for that, he was persecuted. He was convicted of heresy. He was threatened and ridiculed and shunned and excommunicated. But through it all, Luther and all the faithful reformers, they refused to dance to the ways of the world, refused to give in despite the danger that it put them in, refused to trade God's precious gift of salvation for the childish games of this world. And still today, that reformation continues by the grace of God. We celebrate those who did not dance in the past, our Lord, the prophets and apostles, the reformers, and all those who stood firm in the one true faith before us to preserve that truth for us today. And as we celebrate them, we continue their work. We ourselves, all of us, as we live out God's word, we cling fast to the grace of God, and we too refuse to dance to the songs of the world around us. Even though we're opposed, even though we're told what to believe, we won't dance the way that the others want us to. Still today, the world continues to ridicule those who will not follow their wicked ways and dance to the satanic tune they play. They too sit in the marketplace crying out, "We played the flute and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. We waved the rainbow flag and you did not bow. We told you to be silent and you keep speaking." The evil song that they play has so many verses, and it grows louder and louder every day. And we see the entire world falling into line to dance. But the power of the Holy Spirit is in us. And by that power, we refuse to give in, refuse to buy in to the evil lies of this world, refuse to dance to their tune. And for that, we are mocked, we are scorned, we are shunned, we are ridiculed, we are called all sorts of names. But so what? The children in the marketplace, they might taunt you for not playing their game, but honestly, how much does their opinion actually matter? The world might mock you for not playing its game, and it might seem a lot easier to just dance to the world's song to appease them. But how much does the world's opinion really matter when you are told to give up the truth of God Himself? You know, for most of my life, I sought ways to be rebellious. How to rip the system, stick it to the man. I had long hair. I had no hair. I had hair of all sorts of combinations of colors. I had chrome spikes on my belt and jackets and sleeves. I had combat boots, torn and ragged clothes, even an orange t-shirt with blue polyester slacks. Admittedly, the last one is just a bad sense of fashion, but that's kind of a rebellion in itself. Earrings, makeup, late-night gatherings at Perkins with friends to solve all the world's problems and be a part of the solution rather than the problem. I was always trying to find a way to stand out, a way to rebel, to tell this world, "You can't tell me what to do." And you know what? I finally found the way to do it. Right here in the pulpit. All that other stuff, that was exactly what the world expected me to do, exactly what it wanted me to do, and it didn't change a thing. The whole time I thought I was running against the wind, I was actually just doing the world's dance like everyone else without realizing it. But if you want to be a rebel, if you really want to stand against the world, then stand up for truth, absolute truth. Boldly proclaim that Jesus Christ is the one and only way to heaven, that there is no God other than the one true and triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Speak the eternal truth of God's word unashamedly, both law and gospel. Turn your back on the world's idea of fun and excitement and unity, and embrace the true peace and joy and power of God's holy word. Stop pretending that you've done nothing that needs forgiving, and lay your sins at the foot of Jesus Christ. Lay your whole wretched life there and admit that you can do nothing, and thank Him for His free gift of forgiveness and salvation that He gives to you only through the cross and empty tomb of Jesus Christ. The world will always play its songs that tell us we should embrace our natural instincts, that we should gratify all our desires, that we should live for the moment, live for ourselves, and don't worry about anything or anyone else. And that's a seductive song, to be sure. And it promises so much for those who would follow along. But we don't have to dance to that song. Hear the call of the world for what it truly is. At best, it's a childish song trying to get your attention and make you do something foolish. At worst, it's a siren song luring you to your eternal doom as you turn away from the truth of God. Either way, by the grace of God, it is a song that you now know is worthless. A song that means nothing at all in the light of God's everlasting truth. A song that you don't have to dance to anymore. And when we refuse to dance, when we refuse to do things the way the world says we should, we don't do it just to be rebellious or cool or to be our own person, because that's just another remix of the world's dance. We're not thumbing our nose at the world, but rather we are proclaiming and celebrating that we have something far, far better, something real, something that we actually need, something that is eternal and really worth celebrating and dancing for. And in our celebration, we're not trying to break away. We're not trying to isolate ourselves from the world, but rather we share that joy with everyone, inviting the whole world to come not dance with us. We proclaim not only that we have the real and free love of Jesus Christ, but that His love is for everyone, all of His fallen, broken, sinful creation. We boldly proclaim God's truth, calling sin, sin, and then freely pointing sinners to the only source of forgiveness. We do it not to condemn people, but to save them from eternal condemnation. We show the world how Jesus would not dance to its song, but instead did something far better by forgiving us of our sin. We show the world the folly of its sinful dance and how ridiculous it really is, and then show them the wisdom and the glorious deeds of our Lord. We show the world that we will not be swayed by its taunts and jeers because we know the truth of Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, standing by the strength of the Holy Spirit, we will not dance and we cannot be silenced. For God Himself has suffered and died in our place. He has risen from the tomb to eternal glory. He has given us what this world simply cannot hope to give. Here we stand, not dancing, and we can do no other. So help us God. For by the cross of Jesus Christ alone, by His empty tomb alone, you are forgiven of every one of your sins, and eternal life in heaven is yours. To God alone be all glory, now and forever. Amen.